welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Wow, it's great to be here with you and speaking to who I consider my home church, my family. Thank you guys for your warm welcome. Thank you, Pastor Abe, who is away. We definitely want to pray for him probably at the end of the service. If we could lift up that team, that would be great. Really an honor to be with you. This last week has been kind of a whirlwind because typically Lisa and I and our family on Easter Sunday, we have been going to the Lincoln Memorial or for the early sunrise service. Have any of you ever been to that, by the way? You should try it sometime because you can still get back to church because it's so early that you don't have to, it's still dark when you leave. No. But that's put on by one of our Four Square churches, actually. This year was their 40th year at the Lincoln Memorial, and they have close to 8,000 people that show up at sunrise. That's Capital Church is the church that does that. And so for the last several years, typically, a district supervisor like myself, we get invited to churches to speak, but not on Easter Sunday and not on Christmas time. However, one of our pastors got sick nearby and called me, and I got to bail him out. I said, "You are an answer to my prayer," I told him, because I haven't preached on Easter in like 4 years. And so we had an opportunity to do that last week, knowing that this week I would be bringing this word to you. And I'm so honored that it's the Sunday after Easter. You know, they say that Easter Sunday is like the Super Bowl Sunday of Christianity. So what's the Sunday after Easter? That's like the after party, right? So today we're going to go to Disneyland. Yeah, everyone, go to Disneyland. Today we're going to be kind of talking a little bit about the post-resurrection. What is Jesus's hope for us now that he is risen and we have the promise of a resurrected life? Now, if you're anything like me, it's easy to move on from Easter too quickly, right? Because it's fun, we get excited about it, but then the day comes and we kind of move on from it. And then it's another year before we think about the resurrection and the power of the cross. And yeah, we have that in our life in moments, but Easter should be something, the resurrection should be something that is with us always. And I think that the way that that can happen is that we could recognize the resurrected life within us. The Bible says that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Today I want to talk to you about what it means to be fully alive in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to us? Because I think the truth is that sometimes we're like partial, a little bit here, a little bit there, but not necessarily the fullness of the Spirit in our life. We have these partial or seasonal kind of experiences with God, but not the fullness. It reminds me, speaking about partially, it reminds me of this sign I once saw on a telephone pole. Someone had lost their dog. It said, "Lost dog, black and white, nappy hair, partially missing an ear, three legs, no tail, blind in one eye, goes by the name of Lucky." Not too lucky, huh? But sometimes that's how we are as followers of Christ, partial but not full. We go by the name of Christian, but the Lord calls us to be living in his fullness, and we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So today I want to challenge you as my church family, as my home church, that we are called New Life, right? It's not New Life the building, it's New Life Church, and the church is not just the gathering, but each one of us are part of the church, which means I am living in new life personally. I'm living it. Last time we were here, I preached. I mean, not last time I was here because I was here a couple of weeks ago. But last time I preached, I talked about this thing called the three-legged stool. Any of you remember? I mean, it was a while ago. So we'll just do a little review. Yeah, a couple of you have heard this series many times if you have known me. But three-legged stool. This is kind of a symbolic of how are we making decisions in life? How are we journeying in life? How are we making sure that we're doing the very best that God's called us to do? And each one of these legs represents an area that if we don't have all three, we won't be able to be stable in our life. We won't make the best decisions. We won't have the right kind of guidance. We will end up kind of going around the mountain. And each one of these legs represents them. The first time I preached from this, I talked about the Word of God and how the Word of God has to be strong in our heart, that we have to be able to learn how to feed ourselves from the Word of God. Because Sunday morning, Pastor Abe gives us the Word. There's no doubt about that. But you can't live off of one meal a week. So the Word of God, learning to feed ourselves, getting in the Word, letting the Word get in us. The second leg is the one we're going to talk about today, the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as a church that believes, and we sang about it, Spirit come, we believe that He fills us. We have to be the kind of people that understand what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the third leg, which we won't talk about today, is the godly counsel of others. All three of these things combined make it stable, the three-legged stool. So today we're talking about the whole idea of being led by the Holy Spirit. Because if we want to live a fully alive life, we must understand and embrace what it is to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. So we sing about the Holy Spirit. We ask for Him to come. We talk about it in ways like, oh yeah, the Spirit of God is here. His presence is here. But often, when we describe it, it's as though the Holy Spirit's out there somewhere or around us, but we don't fully get that He is wanting to be in us. Have you ever prayed with someone and said, you know, have you accepted Jesus in your heart? And they say, well, yeah, I did. Or maybe you remember when you did, you invited Jesus into your heart, into your life. Well, what does that mean? That means that He actually comes inside of you. Well, how does He do that? He's no longer here with us. He's not walking with us in the flesh. He does it by the Spirit of God. Let me read a scripture to you, and then we're going to get into the main things. I love this. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, all of us with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord. And we are transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Lord. And so when we say, oh yeah, you know, Jesus is in my heart, or I've got God in my life, what we're really saying is the Spirit of God is dwelling within us. Now, even though we may know that, aren't we all kind of prone to just do things ourselves and take matters into our own hands and not really be led by the Holy Spirit, but kind of led by what we want to do or what we feel is best? Or there are times where maybe we do feel Him kind of prodding us in an area and we may even ignore Him at times. We all have done that. We've all been in a situation like that. I want to tell you a story when I did that and how the Holy Spirit corrected me. This would have been probably about 5 years ago. About four or five years ago. We were still living in New Hampshire at the time, and our kids were getting ready to move out of the house. They were graduating from college, and we had a little dog, and our little dog was named Tucker, and Tucker was kind of like Lucky. He was about losing everything by that time. He was old, and he was just hardly being able to get around, but we loved Tucker, and our kids loved Tucker, and But he was getting to be a lot of work, and every time we brought him to the vet said, it's getting close here. It's getting close. So, well, the time came for the annual the dog license to be done at the town hall. Now, my vet told me that he's getting close, and I'm thinking, I don't really, you know, why pay another $35 for a one-year dog license, right? So I just ignored it. Went to the town, though, because I had to pay my excise tax. That's how they do it in New Hampshire. You don't get to mail it, and you show up at the town. And as I'm there, the town manager said, oh, I see here that you haven't paid for your dog license for Tucker. And right then, I was conflicted because I didn't know what to say. So I knew what I should do. The Holy Spirit was kind of saying something. But what I said to Jim Goff, the town manager, is, oh, Tucker's not with us anymore. And I left that place feeling so convicted, thinking, and then I'm thinking, how do I ever make that right? Now what am I going to do? So I told Lisa, she told the kids. The kids were laughing. They tease me about this to this day. They acted out how I must have done that. Well, I'm just going to tell you, the Holy Spirit kept working on me. And I went back to the town manager and I said, Jim, I need to tell you something. When you asked, and I basically told him, he's on his last leg, but he's still with us. So I need to make this right. And you know what Jim said? Ah, don't worry about it. But I'm thinking, you know, here's an example of something so little, you know, where the Holy Spirit was leading me to do the right thing, and I took matters into my own hands. But then I responded better afterward. And I think that on this Sunday after Easter, we need to be asking ourselves, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to fully lead us in all of our thinking, in all of our decisions, in our relationships, in every part of our life? In fact, I want to say it this way. If there's one point that I'm going to flow throughout this message, and you have it in your notes, it's this. Jesus lives so that we can be fully alive by his Spirit in us. Jesus is alive. He lives so that we could be fully alive by his Spirit in us. I want to show you what Jesus tells us about his Spirit and the promise of his Spirit that we sang about. It's found in Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of sections. One is in Acts 1 and the other is in John 16. In Acts 1 verses 4 and 5, it says this, and while staying with them, now this is during the resurrection time. So Jesus has risen from the dead and he's appearing to his disciples. And listen to what he says. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The word baptize doesn't mean sprinkle, by the way. It doesn't mean just a little drip of water. The word baptize actually means a full kind of getting fully saturated and immersed. And what he's saying here is, in the days to come, you wait because you're going to be infilled. The fullness of the Spirit is going to come upon you. Now, let's look at John 16 and see what he says. Now, this is before he goes to the cross. So he's teaching, this was after the resurrection. And now let's see what Jesus says to them before he went to the cross. This is in chapter 16, and that whole section there is talking about the work of the Spirit, but we're going to look at two verses. Verse 7 says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And look at verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears from the Father, because he is God, they're one, he will speak and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, listen to what we learned here just in these couple of verses. We see that there's this promise that God puts out there for us. And Jesus himself is saying, it's going to be good for me to go. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was the disciple standing around, I'd be like, I don't get it. What is so good about you going, Jesus? This is good for you to stay. Why are we talking about you going? Because he says that if I go, I will send the promise of the Father. It's good for you that I'm going away because I'm going to send the Spirit to you. And he's going to guide you into all truth, and he will tell you what is to come. You know, when Jesus came fully as a man, he's fully God, and he becomes man, and he lives among us, and he feels what we feel, and he experiences even temptation, the Bible says, and tempted in all ways, but he doesn't sin. And he's with us in the flesh and blood. Do you know, at that moment, God could only be in the present at one place at one time. Now, there were times where he would be able to quickly get from one other place to another, but he limited himself purposefully. But when he ascends to the Father, the resurrection takes place, and he goes to the Father, he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and every single one of you will have God on the inside of you working. That's why it was good for him to go. In Acts chapter 2, you could read about it where it's the Holy Spirit comes, and the Bible says the way that he appears is like flames of fire upon each individual person. Now, that's significant. You know why? Because when you do a study in the Bible, especially if you look at the Old Testament, whenever God showed up, he would show up, and often it would be in fire, right? Remember the burning bush experience that Moses had? You remember the time when the prophets were mocking God, and the prophet Elijah called down fire from heaven, and it consumed? Or you know the story about when Moses was going through the wilderness with the people, and it said that he appeared to them by fire by night. And it was always this one big fire. But then, later on, right here we can see, after Jesus is resurrected, he sends the Spirit, and fire comes upon individual, personalized upon everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. And for the first time, we see the reason why it was good for Jesus to go away. The resurrection is not just about one day we're going to be resurrected in heaven, but the resurrection is that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in each one of us. Think about that. That means that you could, as he says, he will teach you all things. You will learn how to hear the voice of God. You'll be able to make decisions that are in keeping with God's will for your life. So many people say, oh, I want to know the will of God. And the Spirit of God can speak to us and work in us. Jesus lives so that we can be fully alive by his Spirit. He's always with us, Scripture says, even to the end of the earth. How can that be? How is he always with us? By his Holy Spirit. So, that was a little theology about the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to talk about practically, what does that mean? Jesus lives so we can be fully alive by his Spirit in us. Okay, I get that. What does that mean, though? How does that work? Because a lot of people think of the Spirit as almost like this wispy, metaphysical, kind of, you know, out there kind of spirit. You know, that it's like, you know, almost like a guru or something that's working outside of the... No, but the Bible describes the Spirit as the Lord himself, and that he is the one that wants to speak to us, to live in us, to lead us, to guide us, to convict us at times, to give us revelation, things that we wouldn't even know on our own, as opposed to the idea that, you know, God is up there in heaven and he's watching over us. You know, he's just way up there somewhere. No, he's here, not just here in this room. When we sang that song about, you know, come into this house, the Bible says that we, you and I, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the house that he wants to come and rest and work inside. Not just the God that's out there, but a God that is with us and in us. Not just Jesus is watching us. Reminds me of the story of that guy who was breaking into someone's house. His burglar broke into this guy's house, and he was looking through the drawers, trying to find some really expensive jewelry, and he heard in the background this voice said, "Jesus is watching you." And he thought, well, that must just be a voice from my old Sunday school days. And he kept looking in that, and he hears it again. "Jesus is watching you." So he turns his flashlight up, and he sees a parrot right there. And he looks at that parrot and said, "What in the world?" And he said to the parrot, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Moses." And he thinks, man, that is a crazy name for people to name their parrot. And the parrot just speaks back. He says, "If you think that's crazy, they also named their pit bull Jesus." Jesus is watching you. But people think about God like that. He's just out there watching, not intimately engaged. So here's a couple of things, and these you can find in your notes as well. Being fully alive in the Spirit means God can speak to you personally. Means God can speak to you personally. Do you know that when you're reading the Word and the Spirit of God is in you, he illuminates things that you may have never seen before, and they become personalized for your life. Do you know that sometimes you could even be watching a TV show, a movie out in nature, and in just whatever circumstance, God loves you so much that by His Spirit, He wants to bring kind of a word to you. He will use another person, a conversation, something that you overhear. He wants to speak to you personally. But we've got to be tuned in. You ever have a bad internet connection? It's like, man, I'm on the wrong one. I've got to make sure it's working. And no, when you tune in and that you've got all the bars going and the Spirit of God is able to speak to you. In fact, that's what it said in that verse that we read, that He wants to provide all truth into our lives. But we are a distracted people. We love to multitask. We have so much on our mind that sometimes it's like we don't listen. He gave us, didn't you notice that? I mean, isn't that amazing? He gave us two ears and only one mouth that we would listen twice as much as we talk. We've got to listen to what He's saying. Have you ever had that situation where you were so aware of something? And that's how God wants us to be, so aware of His Spirit working and speaking into our lives. A couple of years ago, I bought a Jeep Grand Cherokee. I traded in this little Mazda that I had and got this Jeep Grand Cherokee. And I'm thinking, this is the car I should have had in New Hampshire all those years. And now I've got it here. I'm grateful. But man, I love this black Jeep Grand Cherokee. And do you know that like the day after I bought it, I realized that everyone owned the black Jeep Grand Cherokee. Everyone. I'm like, I've never noticed that before. That guy in the neighborhood, look at them all. Oh, I was just so aware. Hasn't that happened to you? Could be a vehicle or could be, ladies, those shoes you bought, you thinking, man, I thought I was the only one that had them. Everyone's got them. And we become so aware. And that's the kind of thing that happens if we allow the Holy Spirit to speak in our lives more and more. It activates something in our spirit and in our brain because we begin to care about something more than we did before. We care about God's voice in our life. An ancient teacher named Brother Lawrence, he called this practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. You know what that looks like? That means that whatever you're doing, that His Spirit is there, and if you just listen, you'll hear Him speaking. You could be, ladies, you could be doing, folding the laundry. Guys, you could be folding the laundry and listening. You could be at work and just in your daily routine, and you're just sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You could be at school, getting ready for a test, and do you know the Holy Spirit can bring back to your mind all those things that you studied? In whatever situation you're at, you could be out in the garden working, practicing the presence of God. That's what it means to be able to allow Him to speak to us personally. Being fully alive in the Spirit also means that there is comfort and counsel always. Comfort and counsel. In fact, he's called the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He's called the Counselor. He's called the Advocate. On our behalf, he stands for us. There are times where I have so relied on the Spirit to bring me peace when I don't have it. Right? The Bible says that don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer, to make our requests known to God, and that the peace of God that passes all understanding will rule our hearts and our minds. How does that happen? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who brings us this comfort and counsel all the time. When we went to Africa, Pastor Abe went and I went, and I went from Niger, Africa. They came home, and I also went to Congo to do some other things. And while I was there in the Congo, man, it was just an incredible experience, but then it was coming time for me to leave. And so I knew I had to get to the airport at a certain time in order to make the plane. But they have a saying in Africa. It's called TIA, This is Africa. In other words, in fact, one of the guys said to me, you Americans have watches. We have all the time in the world. Well, guess what? Planes and airlines don't wait for you because you say that. And so I'm looking at my watch, realizing I need to be to the airport at a certain time, and get into the pastor's car, and he's going to get gas, but he's going to drop me off somewhere else to get in to make it to the airport. Someone's going to meet me. As we're at the gas station, he realizes he has a flat tire. So now I'm thinking, all right, I'm glad that, you know, I gave myself an extra 45 minutes. This will work out. We then get to the place where this supposedly someone's going to wait for me, and they're not there. But they know someone else, so we're going to drive and find a vehicle. And now that 45 minutes has been eaten up, and I'm really getting nervous because if I miss this flight, it's another day at least because it's only one flight a day. Plus, they may not have any room on the plane. So I'm like worrying and getting anxious, right? And so then we finally realize they can't find the driver. So they drive me to another area that has a taxi. So I get in the taxi with a young guy who's also been serving as my translator. And we shoot out to the airport and we get caught. I mean, you think there's traffic in D.C. They do not have lanes in the highway, first of all, and people are crossing the highway, and it's this big merge system, so we are, like, sitting in traffic, and then a bus hits us, like, bumps us, not really hard, but, and the taxi driver, because that's his car, he's upset, and so now I text my wife, I say, Lisa, let's pray, because I don't know if I'm going to make this flight, and I am trying at that moment to practice the presence of God, knowing that he's going to work it all out. And he does. The Lord works it all out. I get there in the nick of time, but it was the pressure and the stress of it. Now, that's just a small thing. There are other times in our life and in my life where I've needed the comfort and the counsel of the Spirit, and you have as well. It could be when somebody is sick around you, somebody who you love is going through something really hard. It could be a relational situation that you feel like there's no way out of it or no way to heal it. It could be just a financial need that you have. Whatever it may be, you may feel the pressure and you say, this is the time when more than ever, Lord, that I need your peace. I need your counsel. I need you. I need to know that you are with me. It's in his resurrection that Jesus released the presence of God to each one of us for every moment and in every situation. And then being fully alive in the Spirit means that we can be led by him and continue to have peace. We can be led by him and continue to have peace. When faced with decisions, it's always good to ask that question. Lord, do I have your peace in this situation? Not just to go with it on your own, but Lord, are you leading me with peace? right? If something feels uneasy and not right, there's a lack of peace, sometimes that could be the Holy Spirit bringing you to a place where he's saying, I don't want you to go there now. Maybe never, but at least now, don't go forward with that. Could be something small, like, you know, I've got this plan we're going to get all new furniture for the house. And, you know, maybe financially you can even do it, but you may not know what's around the corner, and the Lord does, and somehow he gives you like, no, not right now. Or it could be a situation for a school that you've applied to go to, and you've got 4 or 5 options in front of you to go to college, and Lord, which one do I choose? Asking for the Spirit to lead you by his peace. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to say, God, not what I want, but what you want. It's the Holy Spirit in us that works that in us. Whoever, the Bible says, whoever is led by the Spirit of God, they are called the sons and the daughters of God. Think about that. So you, I have kids, and I want them to have good gifts, right? I want to bless them. I want to have them have good. But sometimes blessing them and wanting the very best for them is saying, don't do that. Now, they may not think of it at the moment. They may still want that. But I've been there. I've done that. And I know others that have as well. Whatever it is, don't do that. So if we're a good parent, we're going to bring the blessings to our children. It's the same way when God leads us by his Spirit. He's not going to lead us into destruction or into failure. The Bible says if we ask him for bread, he's not going to give us a stone. He wants our best even more than we can imagine. Jesus lives so that we can be fully alive by his Spirit in us. Jesus lives so we can be fully alive by his Spirit in us. I want to close with these thoughts. Some of you, perhaps, maybe you've never embraced the fullness, the presence of God in your daily life. You love coming to church, and we worship, and you can just feel the atmosphere. Something's different. But then we kind of check the Spirit at the door, and we go and just live our life every way we want to live it, right? We get distracted. We have all kinds of other things happening. We make decisions without consulting, without listening, without his presence working in us. And here's the thing. You and I, when we do that, we're not alone. We can see in Scripture that that happened a lot of times with people. Even after Jesus rose from the dead and sent his Spirit. There's a section in the book of Acts, chapter 19, where the Apostle Paul goes to some people, and listen to what he says to them. This is found in verse 2. It's not on the screen, but you can just jot down Acts 19 and read the beginning of that. This is what Paul says to them. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? They believed in Jesus, but they didn't even understand or hear or know how to apply. When he said, it's good for me to go, because if I go, I'm going to send you personally the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is only a concept, if he's not active in your life, if you haven't welcomed him, if you haven't sought him out, if his presence is just a feeling that you get every now and then, not the real, active, living God within you. Well, today, I'm happy to tell you that he's just waiting for you to say, Holy Spirit, come. He's just waiting for you to say, fill this house and help me, Lord, to walk in your Spirit. Help me to be led by your Spirit. Help me to have the peace of your Holy Spirit. Lead me into all truth, as he says. Because when you do that, the decisions that we make become the best decisions. Our ability to hear God's voice within us becomes more real. We have greater peace and greater understanding. I don't know about you, but I need that. Greater comfort and counsel. I'd like you to close your eyes where you're at right now. You may say, you know, we are a people that we believe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No doubt about that. That's what it is to be a follower of God, to understand the Trinity and the work of how God does that. But personally, you may say, but I believe it in my head, but I don't know that I'm really practicing the presence of God in my life. And now, as I've heard this about that the resurrected Christ made the way for the Spirit to reside in me in fullness. If you're here this morning, I just want to challenge you with something. For you to be the one to say, Holy Spirit, come. So as people's eyes are closed all around, I'm just going to ask you to, if that's you, and you would welcome the Spirit of God in your life that way, that you would extend your hands, like almost like open hands, cupped before the Lord, and you're asking him right now, Holy Spirit, come. If you would like that, go ahead. By an act of your faith, just extend your hands out to the Lord with your palms open and say, Holy Spirit, come. Fill me that I would know what it is to have the fullness of the Spirit. You may be here and say, I haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. And he says, oh man, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to comfort you. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Fill us, Lord. Lord, for everyone that's asking, your word says that, Lord, you're a good father. And that if we ask of the Spirit, we will receive. So I want you to know, if you've asked right now, the Spirit of God has revealed himself in a greater way to you. It's going from being a pilot light in your life because you've accepted Jesus. The Spirit has been there, but it's like a pilot light, and he's now turning the flame of his Spirit up in you. I could just see it. I can visualize it. That it's like turning that flame up on your stove, and the flame is getting brighter now. And he's working in you. You've asked. Now you have received. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the fullness of the Spirit. Receive the power of the resurrected Christ in your life today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand as we sing together this song again?
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.